Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, here, Florida Man, when this is like the most normal part of our day. All right, first up, I know it is. It's you know, it's true. This is such a weird. A Florida man was booted from Hooters before a bizarre residential rampage thwarted by an armed homeowner. Guns save lives. What? Yeah. It was a Florida man accused of disrupting a Hooters restaurant before trying to break into a home in Lee County. The homeowner was like, yeah, FAFO, and opened fire. Hugh Mc... His is a weird last name. McManaman. Too many M's and N's in your name. That's... You don't need that many M's and N's in your name. Hugh McManaman.
All right.
Jiminy. 44, was arrested last week. He tried to break into a home in Cape Coral, left a path of destruction. They said earlier he would not leave a Hooters restaurant, caused a ruckus, and then targeted a home for a break-in. He knocked down portions of the home's six-foot fence around the property before he kicked in the front door. He looks like a mean dude. Doesn't he, in his mugshot? He's like one of those guys. He also apparently, after the break-in, dropped his mom's debit card on the property driveway. He tried to break in through a home window. Homeowner was armed, fired shots. He was arrested, charged with a whole bunch of stuff. And he's including $3,000 damage to the home. He has violated parole. He had aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, all kinds of stuff. He's still in custody with Cape Coral. Mm-hmm. And it all started at Hooters. There you go. Oh, this is so... I really don't want to read those online. This is so gross. Jacksonville, Florida. A Florida man is healing.
That's good.
After... No.
He's healing.
How does this happen? A horrific amount of bugs were pulled from his nasal and sinus passages earlier this month. My whole head spinning. He says, my whole face felt like it was on fire. He says, over a couple of hours, my face swelled, my lips swelled, I could hardly talk. The patient was not identified. He went to the hospital for constant nosebleeds and pain. And an ENT on call found by looking inside of his nose, there were dozens of live, oh my gosh. I can't believe this is a sentence. Dozens of live larvae feeding on his inside face cavities. They said they were right up against his skull base, right under the brain. Had they gone up through it, it could have killed him. Okay, is it going to be weird if I go to my ENT and be like, can you just look up my nose, make sure I don't have any bugs eating away in my facial cavities? I feel like that's something. How does this happen?
How do you not blow your nose and some come out?
Some of them were bugs were as large as the tip of a pinky finger. 150 of them were removed, used by a variety of instruments. The larva was sent to lab for testing. Apparently, this is never, it's called nasal myiasis. Myas, how is this pronounced?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, I feel
medical.
Like. It's a nasal infestation caused by housefly larva. It's a rare condition. Oh my gosh. Now, anytime I get a runny nose, I'm going to feel like I have it. I am completely freaking out right now.
So that's a real story. Just wasn't one for you, to get you to say
Fox
myasis.
Channel 8.
All right.
Fox Channel 8. It's an actual for real story.
Sometimes you got to check those out.
I mean, how does this even happen? They said that he noticed symptoms in the fall. He has a compromised immune system. And apparently that's, they said sometimes your body, people with healthy immune systems can fight off things like this naturally. But you always wash your hands. Oh my gosh. But he said that apparently his might have come from cleaning dead fish. I don't know. This is so gross. I can't even deal. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the Kel-Tec Sub-2K, the Gen 3, awesome 9mm carbine. If you have not checked it out, now is the time. This is total Kel-Tec innovation, just, you know, at its best. And this, they've made so many changes. They've upgraded some things with this. Like, for instance, the Sub-2K Gen 3, you don't have to detach your favorite optics to fold it in half. It's a simple twist and fold motion of the patent-pending rotating fore-end. So you can twist it in either direction, fold it right in half, and you can quickly and easily deploy it just the same. Optics and all, which is nice. They upgraded the aluminum trigger, redesigned the mechanics. So you got a light and 5-pound pull, more precise feedback, easier isolated, like a clean isolated pool. He got improved accuracy, all kinds of new stuff. New chamber indicator, redesigned operating handle for added comfort. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff with it. All made in America. Family-owned values at their best. And you can learn more about the Sub 2K, Sub 2000 Gen 3. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. I can't get over the video. Oh, you're going to see it in a moment. Good to be with you. This Monday, we're getting you set up for a good week. Really sorry to do this one video with you, but that's okay. You can listen coast to coast. We've been having issues with the simulcast because YouTube hates us. Social media, just in general, wants to throttle conservatives half to death. But it's good to be with you. All right, so first and foremost, remember how just 2 weeks, I think it was longer than 2 weeks ago, Eric Adams came out and said, oh, because of all of the illegal immigrants that Greg Abbott has been sending to New York, that they're going to have to cut a whole bunch of stuff, right? They're going to have to cut money from the police budget. They're going to have to cut money from education. They're going to have to, oh my gosh, millions of dollars. They're going to have to cut so that they can pay for these illegal immigrants coming in and living. The video is killing me. That's coming in and living in New York City. They're not cutting the dance team, though. The NYPD dance team. So if there's a crime that happens, you know, imagine you, somebody, you call 911, you see somebody getting shivved in the street. You call 911 and the NYPD dance team comes to fussy the bad guys away. My favorite is the chick on the left. If you're watching the simulcast, Juan showing you, like, she got her knee pads on in that. But when the other chicks go to the floor, because they're doing all these dance moves and that. And like, she's in it. But when they go to the floor, she just like, girlfriend marks it. She doesn't even go all that. We got to run that. We got to the one in the middle. And there, see, she's not even going. Nope, not doing it. Nope, not. Nope. Got the knee pads on though. Just saying. The dance team. What is the purpose of this? Anybody? The purpose of it?
I mean, I encourage it. More cardio means cops can run after bad guys better.
Kane. It's the New York. It's NYPD dance team.
Really trying to look at the silver lining.
I don't care about silver linings.
Trying to see the positive.
I don't care about positives. I just think it's weird.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Like, I don't think this is going to help. What is this supposed to do? Is it supposed to help foster goodwill with the community? The one in the middle is like really good. Number 24, she's actually pretty good. They're in basketball jerseys and they're in like biker pants. They got the knee pads on. You know, they're like dressed 1990s LA dance scene style. Yeah.
You see these moves in cheerleading a lot, you know, like college cheerleading. So at what point does this become cheerleading?
Well, they're actually dancing.
Yeah. But I mean, it seems like they're cheerleading.
The one in the middle seems like she legit has dance
training. Because I'm watching it without music. Right?
Yeah, we can't play because it'll be another strike against us.
It seems like it could be a cheerleading thing.
Yeah, it's not. Cheerleaders don't know.
No?
Maybe the Palm Squad, but no.
Yeah, something.
I just want to know what this has to do with. It's like a bad jazzercise class. I'm just wanting to know what this has to do with, you know, policing, serving and protecting. Like, this doesn't get cut, but like Eric Adams goes out and is all, oh man, everything else has got to get cut. Because, you know, these illegal immigrants that are coming in. We got to cut everything, but not the dance team. They spent all this money on the robots that didn't work on the subway platforms. But, you know, everything's got to get cut, but not this dance team. Not the dance team. What's up, criminals? Fosse, what's up? And dance the crime away. What's happening? Would that make you feel safe? I don't know if I'd be more scared of that or the criminal.
I don't think we see a lot of jazz hand jailing going on out there.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's some interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. So I just feel like that maybe shouldn't be the thing that they should be doing. New York seems like it's going to have a lot of problems coming up because you also have this. Audio soundbite 19. So there are a lot of truckers that are not happy because of the civil fraud verdict. We had that happen Friday after we were off air, which I got to say, I don't know that I've ever heard of a fraud case happening without a victim or, like, who do they pay damages to? Who do the damages go to?
I think the state of New York.
Yeah, so there are truckers saying that they're not going to go and pick up loads or do anything in New York. Listen to this, Audio Soundbite 19.
Hey, folks, your old pal Chicago Ray. I've been on the radio talking to drivers for about the last hour 15 minutes. And I'm talking to at least 10 drivers going the other way. I'm heading down from South Wisconsin. And they're going to start refusing loads in New York City starting on Monday. All right? I got about 3 drivers that I drive with. They already vibrated the boss and told them they ain't going to New York City. So, I don't know how far across the country this is or how many truckers are going to start denying loads to go to New York City. But I'll tell you what.
I feel like you don't mess with a guy driving a truck wearing sunglasses at night. I just feel like that's the kind of guy you don't mess with. You know what I'm saying?
Smart.
It's like he needs to wear sunglasses at night because he has lasers for eyes. Who was that guy that was in, was it Marvel, one of the Marvel? He had to wear the special Star Trek glasses because he had lasers for eyes. I'm just saying. Can I also add as a sidebar that why is there, I know that there's like ice road truckers, but is there like a reality show about truckers?
Sure.
No, I mean like about like, because they seem kind of like they have their groups. You know what I mean? Like you have different groups that all know each other. It's like a whole league. You know what I mean? Like it's like a whole like association. They all got their friends and they really, if they wanted to, they could destroy you because all the stuff that you need is stuff that they're driving to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like the last people on earth that you probably would want to make mad are them. I mean, think about all the stuff that you need every single day and how much of it comes by way of truck, you know? When you were a kid in a road trip, and for whatever reason, why were we allowed to climb all over the car during road trips? I don't know. It was the 80s. Who knows? But did you ever like do the where you were trying to get the trucker to honk his rig's horn? And they always did. And it was like, ooh, you would try to see who could get the most if you had other kids in the car that were apparently for some reason, because it was the 80s, allowed to climb all over the car unrestrained. Seemed kind of dangerous. But I'm just, right? Like, I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, was I parented badly? I don't know. Feels like that was more of a danger than anything else. But yeah, it just seems like those are maybe the people. That's why I never understood why Canada wanted to mess with the truckers up there. It's like, you're ice. You're literally a country of ice and moose and bad leadership. Why would you do that? Why would you taunt the people who bring you your stuff? I don't get it. Like you go to the, say you got to go to the grocery store and you can't find what you need. Who's to blame? You? Because you made mad the people who bring it to you. I'm just saying. Yeah, never ever taunt a guy who's, it's nighttime, he's driving a semi and he's got sunglasses on. They're probably prescription. I know a lot of guys that do that. But I'm just saying. So there's people, I don't know, I haven't really heard anything else about it. But I, you know, they're going to appeal that ruling. So that's going to go through a whole process. All right, folks. So new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need, any trees, any plants. They make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code D-A-N-A. Offer is valid for a limited time, so tell them we sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a server was fired, according to this piece. There's a couple different places. New York Post is one of them. A server was fired after she received a $10,000 tip, but owners say it has nothing to do with the gesture. They say it was a business decision. So she got a $10,000 tip, this waitress in Michigan, but the restaurant, and then she was fired days later. The restaurant said it was just a business decision. It was unrelated to the gratuity. The cafe that was in Benton Harbor canned Lindsay Boyd a week after this anonymous customer left the $10,000 tip on a $32 bill. That was according to Detroit Free Press. The guy wanted to be anonymous. He was honoring a friend. He was in town for a funeral, his friend's funeral. And he requested that she split the gift amongst the wait staff, which came out to about a little over $1,000 for each employee. And they said that she got the tip, but she did not pay taxes on it. The business did. And she shared it at the request of the guy who left it. So they said that, I mean, they at that point, they let her go. And the management said it had nothing to do with the tip, but we couldn't go into detail because of labor laws. What? It sounds like it does have something to do with the tip. What did they get mad about? What? Like, you need to do a little bit better business. What do you mean if it was a business decision and you're not, and if it's, you don't have to worry about a labor law? I just feel like that's like a cop out, them saying that.
If I'm the person who wants to give it to the entire staff, I'm not going to give it to one of the staff. I'm going to give it to the manager or the owner of that particular establishment.
So what do you... Does it seem like there's more here than meets the eye?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Interesting. So apparently, I don't know why we're doing this with the dodo stem cell stuff, but we are. There's an ambitious plan to de-extinct the dodo. There's a reason why God took it off the earth. Scientists want to use stem cell tech to bring back the extinct species. Why? I just feel like there's certain things that you don't do. Now, this startup is based here in Dallas. It's called Colossal Biosciences. They're using stem cell tech and genome editing to create a modern approximation of the species. It's actually a really ugly bird.
Sounds like a Jurassic Park story.
Yeah, it's a very ugly looking bird, and I don't understand. It's extinct for a reason. There's a reason why God took it off the earth. What if it was evil? You know, I mean, like, archaeology can't really tell you all that. You know, what if it spit lasers? I don't know. Like, what if it... There's just things they just, you know. Political gender gap grows. Axios says that more Gen Z women are shifting left. 18 to 29 is what they're... How is a 29-year-old in Gen Z? Can we stop with these stupid, like, generational classifications? It's so dumb. Because I heard that if you're in your late 20s, you're still millennial. Now they're saying, no, you're Gen Z. That's so stupid.
But
stop
gender
it.
Is a spectrum, right? So then there's no gap at all. It's all a spectrum.
Well, also,
there's no gaps.
More young people typically identify as being left. And then they become older or more educated, they shift right. That's like typical if you look back throughout generations. This is so dumb. This one story that I was going to hit on Friday, it's ongoing still. About the MS Society, the National MS Society. I don't know if you've seen this story. I am shocked that it is that this organization is doing this, and how far all of this wokery stuff has gone. It's the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. And so this woman, she's 90 years old, and she's out of Long Beach, California. And her husband had MS. And she and her husband apparently worked with the National MS organization. They did so much over 60 years, six decades of volunteer service. And she won multiple awards for her work. And she's 90 years old, okay? So the fact that, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but the fact that she has email and uses email is pretty amazing. Because a lot of 90-year-olds still don't, you know, like or prefer, even if they know how to, they don't prefer to communicate with folks that way. And so she's been volunteering for 60 years with the MS Society. And her organization, it was the Lakewood Long Beach Self-Help Group. And her organization helps people with MS, and they do a lot. And she's just, you know, very, looks like a very nice 90-year-old woman. And her involvement began with her husband's diagnosis, and she's, you know, she is very passionate about that issue. And so one day, what?
60 years she's been doing.
Yeah, that's what I've said, like twice. Yeah, 60 years. So she saw one of these emails come in one day. She saw that people started using these pronouns along with their name. So people would sign, you know how you sign off an email, like, oh, well, you know, Dana Lash, whatever. And I, you know, if you chose to use pronouns, her, hers, whatever. And she had no idea what that meant. And she had said, I saw it on some letters that came in, and I saw that people had pronouns attached to their name. I just didn't know what it meant. And Fran Itkoff is her name. She said that she asked one of the people with the MS Society, well, why are they using these after their name? She just didn't understand what it meant. She said, finally, I was talking to this representative and I thought I would ask, what does it mean? And I let her tell me. And Libs of TikTok had the email that was sent. She said that she was told it meant they were all inclusive. And she said that still didn't make sense to me. And she didn't know how she or her could be all inclusive. Think about this, though. You're a 90-year-old woman. All you do and all you've done for six decades is volunteer work. You don't care about any of this other stuff. You're singularly minded on your mission to help people with MS. And then you start seeing people in email use these pronouns after your name, and she didn't know what that meant. You ask, and if you don't know what it means, you ask someone, and they go, oh, well, it means all inclusive. Well, what? Do you see how it just gets even weirder if you don't live in this garbage world of activist rhetoric? So then, as a thinking person, she's like, well, if it's not referring to men, why is it all inclusive? So a couple of days after the conversation, she was told that she had to step down as a volunteer for the MS Society. The letter said, quote, Dear Fram, I hope this email finds you well. We appreciate your dedication and contribution as a self-help group leader with our organization. She says that the letter said that as we discussed earlier on one of our phone conversation, after a thorough review of our guidelines and standards, it has come to our attention that there has been a failure to abide by our diversity, equity, and inclusion guidelines during your time as a volunteer. Unfortunately, based on the situation, we have made the difficult decision to have you step down from your volunteer position effective immediately. Although the Lakewood Long Beach Self-Help Group will no longer be formally affiliated with our organization, we want to emphasize it does not mean the end of your group's activities. You can continue meeting independently from the society, et cetera, et cetera. You know, this email was sent by someone who hasn't even done a half or a third or a quarter of the work she's done. And she said that the verbiage, she couldn't even understand that. She couldn't be a part of as a volunteer. And her daughter pointed out the irony in the statement that they were excluding a 90-year-old disabled woman who volunteered for over 60 years. She's won awards with her work. They gave her a Volunteer Lifetime Achievement Award in 2008. Her husband went out and met Jimmy Carter when he was still in office because he won MS Father of the Year. And the daughter added that it's sad that they're discriminating against her because MS doesn't discriminate. She literally asked a question because she just didn't know what it meant. She doesn't live in that world. She doesn't pay attention to that stuff. And the daughter blasted the MS Society's entire mission and wondered if they're too focused on inclusive talk and not working to actually fight MS. There, and I agree with her. She said she's going to continue with her group because the patients want to keep going. Can you believe the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is actually valuing pronouns over fighting MS? Because that's exactly what this is. They are betraying their mission and they're sacrificing the fight for MS at the altar of trans activist rhetoric. It is offensive. It's offensive most to the people that they claim to help. Is there nothing free from the infection of this activist rhetoric? She's a 90-year-old woman. I would love to know the identity and age of the person that thought it was acceptable to force a 90-year-old woman who had more experience than the entire lifetimes of the people who probably let her, told her to step down as a volunteer, where they get off or where they think they have the right to ask her to step down simply because she asked for clarification. And notice that at no time they offered no clarification. She wasn't doing it to make a political statement. I mean, and to be frank with you, when your fight is about pronouns, you look like a moron. You're forcing everyone else to play along with your fantasy perspective. And you claim that you're doing it because you want them to be nice to you. But by God, if they don't, then you're going to go after their job and everything else. Now, tell me the irony in that position. I wouldn't want to give any more. I wouldn't want to give any money to the National Multiple Sclerosis Foundation after that, because you don't even know what they're going to use it for. Clearly, they're not prioritizing work and advocacy on behalf of the patients that go and see them. This is just how insidious this is. 90 years old, multiple awards. That's all she does. She loves helping people and working with people. And she literally asked a question. And apparently they provided everything, you know. She asked a question like, what does that mean? Why is that? Because it sounded like she was asking the question, like, should I be doing that too? Honestly, that's what it sounded like when I was reading through this, the discussion. She didn't say it, but it sounded like she was trying to figure out if that is that something that she needs to be doing on behalf of MS. Like, what? Do you see? She's 90 years old. That is not her world. And most people who did not come up in that way, where you worship rhetoric, they don't prioritize that stuff. I can't even believe this has to be explained. And I also think it is the indulgence of the younger activist generation who think that everything has to live and die by this stupid stuff.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.